This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
The New Japan Purocast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com. Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, May 14th, and we have got a lot to talk about on today's program. We are going to be previewing the first two nights for Best of the Super Juniors 24 coming up this week on Wednesday the 17th, Thursday the 18th. But before we get into that, Damon, tell us about War of the Worlds in Philly.
Well, Brian Alvarez, it was...
Where's your papers?
They're right here. Let me start rattling away. All right, we're... Now, silliness. We make fun because we love. Well, hi, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to everyone in the United States.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes. War of the Worlds. It was. I thought it was really good, Colin. I don't know if you had a moment to step away from your very busy schedule to take a look at any of these matches, but I thought it was really a fantastic show. I enjoyed it from top to bottom. I thought the things that on paper looked like it could deliver definitely did. I think other things were kind of surprises, not so much in the sense of knowing that it was going to happen. I refer to a Bullet Club member leaving and a Bullet Club member joining. And I think the matches that I was not looking forward to did exactly what it needed. Did exactly what I expected it to do. But that being said, I thought it was a home run show. I enjoyed it. I think the participation by the New Japan crew was good. I don't think anybody took a day off. I don't think anybody got Tokyo Dome on these shows, but I think everybody did well. I was happy with what we saw, and we can definitely sink our teeth into these matches now, I guess, right? We're going to jump right into it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I didn't get a chance to see any of the matches yet, but I did hear that Will Ospreay versus Jay White was probably the match of the night.
Outstanding match. Outstanding match. Maybe the best match that I've seen live outside of Tokyo Dome events. I did see a Big Japan tag match that was really tremendous, but this and the Noah show was pretty good, too. Nah, I think this match was right up there, aside from Tokyo Dome stuff. Really, Will Ospreay. Can we talk about Will Ospreay for a second, Colin?
We can certainly talk about young William.
He is a spectacular performer.
He's talented.
I don't even know how to describe the maneuver, as Vince would say, that he pulled off against Jay White in the closing stretches of this. So he tosses Jay White outside the ring, and he does this flip from the top turnbuckle, and you knew he was setting up something. So and it was right on my side. I was front row, Colin, in case you didn't know.
I did see a picture of you in a warm embrace with Mr. Hiroshi Tanahashi. Does your wife know about this?
She certainly does. She wholeheartedly encourages it.
Okay, good.
We'll get to that part in a second. But Ospreay hits this fucking move, and I got to be honest with you. There were three or four guys that were in the same row that were near me, and we all just wide-eyed, mouth agape at this. It was kind of like a shooting star press to the outside from the top turnbuckle that just – it was spectacular. What a fucking unbelievable. I will say this though. As much as I'm gushing over Will Ospreay, Jay White put on a performance of his lifetime so far as a young pro wrestler. And I think everyone was looking forward to something along these lines from Jay White the day that he went off on his excursion, right? We were looking for something like this for a very, very long time. Let me take that back. Not a very, very long time, but this is what we wanted, right?
We had high hopes for Jay White.
Yep. And I think he absolutely delivered. A lot of dangerous spots. You know, they did that. It was I don't want to say like a power bomb, but like a DDT kind of spot on the ring apron that looked just absolutely brutal. Will Ospreay's back was so jacked up, man. It was just cut and red, and he looked like he got whipped. His back was just all kinds of fucked up. Here's the thing with this though. I would have loved a little bit longer of a match. There was nothing on the show, Colin, that went like a 20-minute match or a 25-minute match. Everything seemed to fit in like around 10 minutes.
I was reading about that, and it seems to me that they tried to pack a lot in on a 3-hour show.
They did, which is both good and bad, because especially for an old guy like me, because this fucking show didn't start till 9 o'clock at night, and I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. So my eyes were heavy, to say the least. And then, you know, you had to get like at least 3 or 4 beers in you.
Naturally.
And a big plate of lamb and rice, Colin. Oh, mm-hmm. what a treat that was. Oh,
how I miss that.
Oh, it was great. I thought of you. I actually thought of you as I was shoveling it in my mouth. Right out in front of Madison Square Garden.
That's my home turf, buddy.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. So, what was my point? So, Jay White, outstanding performance. Will Ospreay, electrifying performance. I think that was the best night, best match of the show, hands down. But then, I know I'm all over the place, guys. Nothing went over 10 minutes. You know, so they were really quick doses of great wrestling, and then they were out the door, and here's the next one coming through the curtain. So you really didn't even have a time to breathe and absorb a lot of the stuff that you were seeing, but you knew what you were seeing was pretty fucking great. I don't think there was a shitty match. I'm not going to go into a whole Cody Rhodes rant, because I know everyone looks forward to it every fucking week.
Oh, we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, good. I wouldn't want to disappoint our fans. Yeah, I thought everything was really good. Everything kind of squeezed into a nice, short, compact container with that match being the best. And I thought the War Machine tag match, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was just a fun romp, if you will.
Evil and Seiya Sonata involved in that one?
Yep. War Machine, Colin, I'm going to be truthful, and I'm going to tell you from the gut. And there's plenty of gut going around here. I love War Machine. I think War Machine might be head and shoulders the best tag team that we've seen in New Japan in quite some time. Thoroughly enjoy them. Now, again, you could stick air and say Goto and Shibata, or, you know, but I can't even count them for a long time. I enjoy War Machine a lot in New Japan, but man, when they come here, it's weird, because when they're here in the States, God damn, they are just really a workaholic tag team. Like, people talk about this big man thing, right? And they always kind of look to like a Fale. But to me, that big man style, it has here we go, Colin. I'm going to use one of those buzzwords. Evolved.
Ah.
Yes, yes. It has evolved. And like to me, that's what the modern day big man style is. The modern day big man style is War Machine. And I thoroughly enjoy them, man. I think they are one talented fucking tag team. So I enjoyed that match as well. All right, you want to go through the whole show? Do you have the whole show in front of you?
Yeah, sure. You can give me your thoughts.
I'll give you my thoughts on all of that.
And just to kind of touch upon what you were saying about War Machine really quick, you were talking about how the big man style has sort of evolved over time. And I think that it's very refreshing to see a big, mean guy tag team who, you know, not only can kick some ass, but they're super athletic as well. I think that's part of the evolution. Like, two big, mean guys, but yet they can move.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, though. In a old-school kind of mentality, it does almost make you step back and think, okay, so if a 300-pound guy can do, and again, I'm thinking old-school mentality here, can do what a junior can do, then what is the value of the junior, right? So the junior, how do they evolve, right? But yeah, I mean, to me, those two big guys are, you know, the modern equivalent of, you know, there was a tag team back in the day that I really enjoyed. It was Vader and Bam Bam Bigelow.
That's right.
I really enjoyed that tag team a lot. And so I see a lot of that in what War Machine can do. So super thrilled with them. I thought they put on an excellent performance. All right, let's go over the show. What was this? This was Friday night, right?
Yep, this was Friday night, New York City Hammerstein Ballroom, or Hammerstein, if you're so inclined. Opening match, Kushida versus Bobby Fish versus Dalton Castle versus Silas Young.
So in my point of view, Dalton Castle is, and I don't think this is a shock to anyone, is by far, aside from the Bucks, right? Because the Bullet Club t-shirts were in full effect, which is equally awe-inspiring and like, really, we're still in this mode of Bullet Club? They are over as anybody.
It's almost like Dalton seeing Castle. An NWO show, NWO shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, Colin, these Ring of Honor shows, I would say every third person had some type of Bullet Club paraphernalia, whether it be a t-shirt, a cap, a hoodie, whatever. They're over. And that's not going to stop. So for those people that are questioning, you know, oh my God, people are still joining this Bullet Club and people are still, yeah, that ain't going to end anytime soon. If the show is any indication. So anyway, Dalton Castle. These people go batshit over Dalton Castle. And to me, for that guy should be leading your promotion.
Absolutely. I mean, he's by far the most charismatic guy on their roster. And why you wouldn't put your world title on him is baffling to me.
I mean, I don't even know if you put your world. I don't know. I mean, he's got to be in the mix. And to me, to have him stuck in an opening four-way kind of schmoz, you know, 8-minute sprint, it is a bit of a waste. And I'm not the biggest Dalton Castle guy, but it was clearly evident with that crowd. And I don't think that crowd is, you know, sits off in an island and, you know, is going against the norm of Ring of Honor fans. I guarantee you when I go here today for this TV taping in Philly, he's going to be one of the more over guys. He just is. I just thought, like, just sitting there and listening to the crowd response, they're wasting an opportunity with Dalton Castle. But anyway, Kushida looks strong. I think he we all know how we feel about Kushida. He's one of the best in the world.
He's so great.
He looked good.
And adorable.
And adorable, too, to boot. I think everybody did well. It was, again, 6 minutes maybe in length. But a sprint, good match, and Bobby Fish. was there. He took the fall. Dalton Castle did go over, which was, I think, a smart move as well. So it was a good opener. Not bad.
How about Kazarian versus Page?
So going into it, you would think that this was definitely going to be a beer break. But I stuck this one out. And I'm kind of glad I did. They didn't do bad, Colin. And I think they did exactly what they needed to do. It was a brawl-heavy, feudy kind of match. That I think worked well. I think both guys worked hard. There was one spot that was so fucking gross, dude. So instead of exchanging chops, Colin, they decided that they were going to exchange loogies.
I read about this, and I think there is even someone ingested said loogie.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're literally sucking back nostril phlegm and just winding up, and just, and there was one, and it was white and foamy, and just hit Paige right in the side of the cheek, and she, he has, you know, kind of like this little scruffy beardy kind of thing going, and it just stuck there, and he wipes it off and he starts eating it, and everybody is like just ready to throw up.
Was there a "you sick fuck" chant by any chance?
Yeah, of course. There was plenty of chants. It's a Ring of Honor show. What do you expect? Everybody wants to be a star. So yeah, it was gross. It was gross. And that's even on my scale. You know, if you look at my porn history, you might be shocked by that.
Oh, I'm sure. You're probably on a list somewhere.
I'm on some list, I'm sure. Yeah. This was rank, but it was a good brawl. I thought it was fine. I don't think there was anything overly memorable. Well, I take that back. The spit spot, the safest spot, you know, aside from, like, you know, catching a cold, mind you, that they did was probably the most memorable thing in the entire match, which is, I might be saying something about Cole and Kazarian. Oh, not Cole. Well, you could probably stick Cole in that conversation too. I mean,
I think Cole's a cut above both of these gentlemen.
Here's the thing with Adam Cole, and there is a thread 10 miles long in the classic Facebook group. One of the longer threads of anything that I've seen in a very long time. The idea of Adam Cole and where he is and who he is and what kind of performer he is. Adam Cole can have a very solid, good pro wrestling match. A lot that we talk about with Cody, right? And I personally feel that I have seen better, good to great matches with Adam Cole than I have with Cody, right?
I'm so in full agreement.
Right? So if I'm going to rank them in some asinine scale that I've just created, I'm putting Cole above Cody Rhodes, just in pure matches that I have personally seen live that were better. And again, one that really sticks out to me is a match that he had with Kyle O'Reilly in Philly. And he's had other great matches as well. So, but there is something, dare I say, generic. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, but I'm going to say generic about him. And it's not a charisma thing, because I think he has a charisma. I think he has a charisma that's just not.
We're talking
say a
Cody
word.
Here, right?
No, well, both, really. Because I think they're really cut from the same cloth. I really feel like they're really interchangeable people.
I had a thought about Cody today, by the way, and I don't know if I should say it, because I think it might raise the ire of a lot of people.
Yeah, but okay. Then definitely say it.
You know, you know Cody's brother, Goldust.
Oh, I'm familiar with him. Yes,
you're familiar with him. Well,
I'm familiar with him.
Honestly, and I'm not just saying this to kind of fuel the Cody Rhodes hate bandwagon, but Goldust is a better wrestler. I can name so many more memorable matches involving Goldust than I can with Cody. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look,
There you go. There's Colin going out on a limb. Well, I can't wait for the hot debate to occur.
And I'm talking on... even now, like Goldust now. I think he's a better wrestler really? Than Cody is. Yeah.
Wow.
I really do.
I don't know. I probably would take Cody over Goldust now. But okay. I'm just waiting for the avalanche of hate now.
Hey, I had to get it out of my system because I was thinking about it.
All right, listen, I appreciate it. That's why we do this. This is not about you people. This is about our therapy. This is how we can.
Yeah, this is very cathartic for us.
Yes, this is for us. Anyway, where was I? Adam Cole.
Bebe.
But so here's the thing: the people love to do it. It's one of those silly things that people love to do. Whatever. I think Adam Cole is very good. I think he's somewhat underrated. But as I say that, he's not my cup of tea. Right? I think Cody is cut from the same cloth. You know what it is? I think it's the position that they give Cody in this illusion of Cody doing well in New Japan that might rub me the wrong way.
He's not made for New Japan. He's not made to work there.
To me, it's not the best fit.
And,
right?
and neither is Adam Cole, for that matter. Now, that doesn't make both of these guys bad wrestlers. Certainly not. It just means that they're not tailor-made to work in New Japan like a lot of other guys are. Like Elgin, for example. There's an example of a North American wrestler that can really work that Japanese style and get over big in Japan.
What about Zach? I saw him last night at CZW. Do you think Zach fits that style?
Mr. Zack Sabre Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say wait for the G1 because to me, he hasn't had enough matches in New Japan yet. I mean, we saw that match he had with Goto. What else did we see with Zach so far?
That's about it, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
Maybe a tag, yeah.
I think we have to wait for the G1 before I can give you an educated analysis on Zach in New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we're talking New Japan. We all understand and recognize his tenure in Noah and other promotions. So, but I think he's a guy that you could circle and say, okay, he's a fit. All right, I don't want to sit here and talk about. We always say this. I don't want to sit here and talk about Cody Rhodes for 10,000 years, but we always wind up doing it. All right, what was the next match on the show? So we saw the Lugi Fest.
Yep. And then you had talked about War Machine. They had a match against Evil and Sonata and Chris Sabin and Jonathan Gresham, who I'm really not familiar with.
Yeah, most over guys, Naito definitely was one of those. I like this match a lot. Again, I hate to kind of use the same phrases and use the same descriptive terms for a lot of these matches, but fast paced, plenty of action, lots of great power moves from War Machine. War Machine is quickly becoming one of my favorites. Naito did this DDT spot.
Naito.
Where he just, where he took this DDT. He took a DDT.
In the Bucks match you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. What am I confusing with this?
You're jumping Sonata all over Evil. The place here, Damon.
right, this is Sonata and Evil. Okay, yeah, you're right. It all did seem to blend in together. I've seen a lot of pro wrestling this weekend, Colin.
Yeah, I think you're on overload.
I really feel like it. I'm running on very little sleep. This weekend, it's been a nonstop balls to the wall pro wrestling week. With this show, and then I went to CZW last night, and then I'm doing this, and then heading over to the arena for the Philly War of the Worlds. All right,
I feel like they should be paying you for this.
What's that?
They should be paying you for this. I feel.
You would think. I was talking with Kevin Kelly. Did we get mentioned at all on this show?
You know, like I said, I didn't get a chance to sit down and watch this pay-per-view. I'm going to, so I can't tell you.
All right, so nothing on our Twitter feed.
Didn't see anything from our fans.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to have a word with that Kevin Kelly. I had a word with that Kevin Kelly. He seemed to, he didn't hate me. He gave me a hug.
Wow, look at you. You're getting right. Hugs from Tanahashi, from Kevin Kelly.
Yeah. Boy, I'm this is like fucking Bailey.
you're a hugger. You should get the shirt.
I should. Yeah, he was good. He doesn't hate us. All right, so we're good there. He doesn't hate us, Colin. So we're good. All right, so this was a great match. I think it would be safe to say if people went out of their way to watch this, I think they would enjoy this. I think it was a good match. What was next?
Next was the Ospreay versus Jay White match, which I think did you say that this was probably the best match on the card to you?
Oh yeah, hands down.
Okay.
Without question. And I would go at least 4.5. I would go 4.5.
I heard somebody say that this was one of the best matches in North America this year.
See, now I haven't seen too much of the PWG stuff, right?
Because, neither again, have I.
Neither has anybody, because they take 5,000 fucking years to put it on DVD. Or high spots or whatever they do. I don't care.
I got a lot of heat for saying that, by the way. Like, when I go off on my PWG rants about how antiquated their system is, boy, okay. people don't like to hear that.
It's just annoying. Like, don't make me jump through hoops. Just, whatever. But I haven't seen any of that. So I'm saying that with that asterisk. This I think North America, I'm really trying to think of a better match that I've seen live. From North America, can't do it. This was, I mean, when we talked about this match in the weeks leading up to it, and I think we even talked about it privately, I was looking forward to it, and they delivered. I think they delivered big time. That was a tough match to follow. I felt bad for whoever was going out there next, because that was going to be a tough match to follow. Ospreay's amazing. He's one of those lightning in a bottle kind of guys that I just think New Japan has whiffed on so far. I really feel like that this company has, and again, I don't know the full details of contracts. We've gotten word that it's been a 1 year. I could have sworn. Or it's a 2-year deal, and I could have sworn that he had said, and I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him today, Colin. I'm going to ask him today. I want to find out what the fuck his contract situation is. Now, he might not answer truthfully. Who knows? But I'm going to ask him as nicely as possible, as diplomatically as I can, Colin.
Well, Damon, I think you're a very respected journalist in the pro wrestling community. So I think he'll have no problem. He'll feel comfortable talking to you, I'm sure.
All right. I'm going to roofie him.
Hey, you almost got roofied that one time in Vegas.
I remember that. That was a crazy fucking night. Yeah.
Classic stuff.
Classic Damon.
How about this?
I'm going to ask him.
How about this Bully Ray and Briscoe's match versus, Goto and Roppongi Vice.
So, another brawl. Oh, first of all, I want to let you know, Colin, and I feel like this show is all over the place, but what the fuck? That's our show.
That's the PuroCast, folks.
It really is. You got to stay. We hop all over the place. We are we're like two rabbits on coke. We're everywhere. Whoa. Cola, that is. So, the Jay White Ospreay match. Colin, I want to share with you. I'm looking at it right now. What I'm looking at is my knee. I might be questioning, why would Damon be looking at his knee and talking about Ospreay and Jay White?
Did somebody touch you?
Yeah. If by someone you mean a long piece of metal that jammed into my knee.
Oh.
So where I was sitting was right on, three seats in on the corner, right? Which is prime. I'm going to whip you into the barricade spot, right? And you could see it coming from a fucking mile away. And I told everybody, I was like, guys, we got to back the fuck up because this thing is coming our way. And he got whipped. I think it was Jay White who got whipped so hard into that barricade. And that rail hit me so hard in the knee. Colin, I have a bruise the size of a fucking tomato on my knee right now. And it hurts.
And this was from Jay White.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was like, you know, just smashing into the barricade, which in turn rammed into my legs, which were right in the front row.
See, that's what you get for getting front row tickets.
I know. What a mistake. Ugh,
I hope you're updated on your tetanus shot.
My tetanus shot. I have my deductible all taken care of. No, but it is a little sore. I'm not going to lie.
Dana.
So I'm going to sue Ring of Honor.
coming home from the War of the Worlds show all battered and bruised. What a trooper.
You know what I was doing going home? So I enjoyed the lamb and rice so much, Colin, that I got another one.
Oh.
Wait. So I'm in the car on the turnpike at 1 o'clock in the morning, like shoveling lamb and rice.
What an animal.
As I'm driving now, down the turnpike.
Now this is very important. Did you get the white sauce?
Oh, I got both. White and red.
Oh my god. That white sauce is I'm pretty sure there's crack in it.
I hope so. That's why I got it. Yeah, it's the fucking the best.
And $5 too.
Yeah, that was like $7.
Oh, seven. The prices went up.
For $7, you get a styrofoam, you know, what is it called? A container?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
stuffed full of this rice and chicken or lamb.
It's plentiful, too.
Oh, my God. It's heavy. Oh, I was in heaven.
And I think it's a long grain rice. I don't think it's a white rice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this has been cooking with Damon and Colin.
Well, look, I mean, for anyone who hasn't had this, they really owe it to themselves to take a trip to Manhattan, hit up a food cart, and you'll be in heaven. Trust me.
Yeah, cheap eats and really good. And I mean, listen, I don't know if the Board of Health has checked at any of these carts in the past 20 years.
I try not to think about that too much.
Right. I don't really concern myself with cleanliness, but yeah. Look, we'll cross our fingers and hope we survive the morning, and I did, so everything's all good. But yeah, I'm looking at my knee; it's all fucked up because of that. All right, so the Bully Ray match, right?
Yeah, for the ROH Trios title.
Trios title.
That's what nonsense. It is.
I know. Everybody's got a belt nowadays, Colin, and I'm sure we're going to touch on this after we do the full review of this show.
Oh, we certainly are. And speaking of belts, we did see a TV title match with Marty Scurll defending against my boy, Matt Sydal.
Yes.
Banned in Japan, Matt Sydal.
Banned in Japan. That should be his gimmick, Banned in Japan.
Yeah, I think it should.
Matt Sydal seems like a real nice guy. I saw him actually outside of the building, and nice guy, very personable, always has a smile on his face. I hear
how much
that
for an
that
eighth?
To you. I don't know if that's chemically induced smile, but that smile is always there. He seems like he's in good spirits at all times, so he seems like a good guy. Let me get your take on this, Colin, because I was not necessarily on the fence with this particular gentleman. I appreciated his talents. I thought I enjoy him in the ring. But I think this night, for me personally, put him over the top. And that's your boy Marty Scurll. You like him a lot.
Marty Scurll, I think is if you're not familiar with the guy, you're in for a real treat. This best of the Super Juniors tournament, because when you see him take on Will Ospreay. I mean, those two guys have such a tremendous chemistry together, and we're going to be treated to that this Wednesday. So just wait.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's got a very unique gimmick, a very unique look. It's almost like a steampunk kind of takeoff. I like him a lot. I think he's a true talent and one of these guys that you can do a lot with. I'm excited for him. I like this match. I thought the two matches that preceded it, like I said, they were tough to follow. I thought this match was solid. I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was like a blowaway match. And I don't think it was better than the two matches I saw previous. But I thought this was very good. It was good to see Matt Sydal again. I think Matt Sydal is one of those guys. Matt Sydal, to me, and again, I'm throwing this as a general statement, kids. So let's not, you know, compare criminal records with each other. But to me, I'm going to go out and say that Matt Seidel is the modern day Buddy Landell, in the sense that he has so much talent, that seems to be, I don't want to say wasted, but it seems like the opportunities that he gets somewhat get fucked up, right, by some of the choices that he makes. And that's disappointing to me.
And truth be told, I'm really going to miss him in Best of the Super Juniors this year.
He had a nice spot. And yes, for our pure selfishness, absolutely. It is disappointing, but I feel bad for the guy himself. And it's not like this is the first opportunity that has been wasted. You know, the guy spent some time in WWE and was
what happened there.
Okay, but, you know, whether it was just, you know, they couldn't find a spot for the guy, or the rumors, or whatever the case may be. The problem is that it's just another opportunity lost, right? And he has a track record of this. That's the challenge. Now, this is pro wrestling, right? So I'm not going to sit here and sit on a throne and be like, well, you shouldn't put things into your body as I shove a fucking cinnamon bagel in my mouth, right? But the point being is, at the end of the day, and if you look at where he is right now and where the talent that he has and where you would think he could be, I think it's an opportunity lost and a wasted opportunity in and itself.
So Marty Scurll versus Matt Seidel. Thumbs up?
Yeah, I think it was a thumbs up. I like Marty Scurll a lot. I like his gimmick a lot. I think his gimmick is tremendous. I think the presentation of him is great. And I think him moving on to bigger and brighter things. And obviously the Bullet Club representative in the Best of the Super Junior is something that I'm looking forward to. And I think is a huge positive for his career.
Young Bucks versus Naito and Bushi.
I think this match, given a little bit more time, and again, we're talking about 8 minutes, 10-minute matches. I would have loved to have seen this one get a little bit more time than all the other ones, because I think it was just building to a perfect spot where it just needed a little bit more, and I think this would have been a really outstanding match.
And that sounds like a reoccurring theme for this show. If only it was given a little bit more time, it could have been great.
They could have, you know what it is, Colin? They could have killed a match. They could have taken one
or
match
two.
Off. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm looking. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 matches on a 3-hour show.
Yeah. Yeah, it did speed by. I would have liked to have seen this one grab a little bit more time. Nah, what are you going to do? But, Colin, when I tell you Young Bucks were the most over people in that building, by a country mile. By a country mile. It's.
Did you thank them for the house?
They thanked me for the house.
Ah.
No. It was funny. I think it was Nick who got whipped into our corner. So we're having a conversation as the match is going on, and he has some choice words for Bushi. It was pretty interesting. He was warned about the mist. Before the mist even happened, I think we kind of clued him in to warn him that mist, you know, is Bushi's specialty. So just be warned, be careful there.
And I believe that it was Matt who got the old mist in the eyes.
Yeah, he didn't tell his brother apparently. So, but during that conversation, I know that I won't repeat here on the podcast, but he had some choice words. It's pretty funny. Anyway, yeah, I wish this match got a little bit longer. Naito was, definitely one of those guys that was over, but it paled in comparison to the Bucks. The Bucks they'll never leave Ring of Honor, nor should they. There's no reason to, because there wasn't a person who wasn't on their feet, you know, hitting the Young Bucks chants and with the t-shirts and signs. And I think they were the people came to see the Young Bucks. That crowd, I don't even think the New Japan people, brought in that crowd as much as the Young Bucks did. And that's a feather in Ring of Honor's cap. They got to hang on to them.
So the Bucks took out Naito on the outside, hit the Meltzer driver on Bushi, just as we suspected. And there you have it. Young Bucks picking up the victory.
Yep, over Bushi. We expected that, right? I don't think that was any shock. But again, good short sprint match. Good stuff.
Now, Damon, before we continue here with this fine podcast, I'd like to mention that our friends at GaijinCollectibles.com have this contest going on. Did you know about this?
I've heard, Colin. It's a very exciting contest, if I'm not mistaken. It involves G1 tickets.
It does indeed. So as all of our listeners know, I'm sure, these G1 specials that are happening in Long Beach this July are sold out. You cannot get tickets anymore, folks. It is done. But once again, our great friends at GaijinCollectibles.com, they have got a ticket with your name on it for these G1 shows. Go to their website, like their Facebook, like us on Facebook, and you can be entered for a shot to win one of these G1 tickets. And again, you have to take care of your lodging, your flights, and all that. But you could be in that building.
Yes, exciting times for New Japan. Exciting times for Gaijin Collectibles as well. So you owe it to yourself to at least give them a like. Check them out for all your Puro merch. Give us a like. You're already doing that, I would hope. And then, wow, you're automatically entered to win these tickets both nights. I think there's meet and greet and throw it in there as well. Listen, you go on StubHub right now. You ain't paying less than $100 to get in that building. So this is a great deal. Again, as Colin had eloquently stated, you are responsible for your own lodging. You are responsible for your own flight or transportation. But again, to get in the building for these historic events, you owe it to yourself to try and grab some of these tickets. Check out Gaijin Collectibles today for all your Puro merch, and fingers crossed, you could be the lucky winner.
That's right. Once again, like them on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and you shall be entered. And of course, GaijinCollectibles.com, just great service, great merchandise, you know, pictures, t-shirts, hoodies, all kinds of great apuduresu collectibles at GaijinCollectibles.com. I know a lot of our listeners, we've been drawing some traffic their way. They've been very pleased. Damon, you've been very pleased with the service yourself from the stuff that you ordered.
Yep, can't say a bad thing. I haven't heard a bad thing about it. So they come highly recommended from myself personally. And again, if you're looking for the real deal, authentic, straight from the promotion, straight from Japan to your door, as they like to say, that's the place you got to go.
Very good. GaijinCollectibles.com. So as we move on here, we've got two more matches to talk about. We talked about Adam Cole earlier in the show. He had a match with Hiroshi Tanahashi. Damon, do you think that this was the Tanahashi versus Cole match, maybe second favorite match of the night behind Ospreay and Jay White?
No, I think the tag matches. I think this was a good pro wrestling match.
That's what I heard. It was just a solid, safe pro wrestling match.
Yeah, nothing too dangerous. High fly flow for Tanahashi for the win. Lots of dueling bay-bay chants for Adam Cole and Hiroshi Tanahashi. I think the high spot of the night was Tanahashi hitting a giant hug to yours truly at ringside. I think that was the...
I should retweet that picture, because you sent me that. I should put that out there on our Twitter so the whole world can see, so they can share in your love.
Look,
in Tanahashi's love.
Look, he loved me. He hugged me. It's funny because he was coming up the side, and he's giving a high fives, and he comes along and he looks at me, and I think he knew it was coming, and he started to laugh, and I was like, "Bring it in, big man." He brings it in. Fun times. But now, safe pro wrestling here. Nothing to be too alarmed with. Nothing to be too concerned with. Speaking of safe pro wrestling, Colin, I'm going to rewind just a smidge, because I think we glossed over something quick with the Bully Ray and the Briscoes and the Goto and the Roppongi. I don't know if you know. I mean, you didn't see the matches. Colin, there's some things in there that you might not like. And they revolve around some chair shots to the head.
I was reading about that there were a lot of unnecessary chair shots to the head going on. Nothing to the extreme, right? But they were still there.
Yeah, it was more like those, remember those old school Kevin Sullivan chair shots where he would just take the chair and chuck it at someone's head?
Yes.
As opposed to completely, you know, winding up and potatoing them. It was more like that. I heard, I was listening to Dave's review, and he was saying, stuff along the lines of, you know, it took the crowd out of the match, and oddly enough, I kind of agree with that, because even in where I was sitting, there was audible, what the fucks. Right. There was audible headshot. Like, there were people that were like, yeah, headshot. You know, they were actually were, you know, and I not like it wasn't like they were cheering for a headshot. But, you know, it was the more of the, oh, my God, he hit him. And, you know, he got him with the chair. But there was noticeable people who openly moaned and groaned when that occurred. So that is an accurate statement from Dave. Probably unnecessary, right?
And yeah, nothing would have been taken away from that match if there had been no chair shots.
No, none. But okay, so we brought that up. All right, so I know, again, we're all over the place.
So after the Tanahashi Adam Cole match, Omega shows up on the screen, right? And him and the Bucks kick Adam Cole out of the Bullet Club. Marty Scurll shows up, newest Bullet Club member. So there you go, Adam Cole on his merry way to Orlando, I assume.
Yeah, that's what everybody's speculating, and that's what seems to be the general consensus.
Where else would he go?
Right. CCW. after the match, they Young Bucks. Well, first, Adam Cole's in the ring. Chants come up, you know, the thank you, Adams, thank you, Cole, all that stuff. In come the Young Bucks, and it looks like they're going to give them the old double super kick. Adam Cole turns around. They embrace. Hugs and kisses everywhere. And then they go to a video package, a pre-tape thing with Kenny Omega. And shockingly enough, Colin, and again, this is another thing that I had heard, that there was disappointment in the building that when Omega said that he wasn't there, he couldn't be there, that people groaned. And people did groan, which I kind of thought was weird, because it's like everybody, I thought everyone knew that there was he wasn't going to be there, and there was no way he was going to be there. So I don't understand why people were groaning. But Colin, that video package, people were going nutso just seeing Kenny Omega on the screen.
So in other words, Kenny Omega was still one of the most over performers in the building, yeah, despite not being there.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about that. They were happy to see him in any form whatsoever, whether it would be in the flesh or via a video package. So yeah, Kenny Omega basically chastises Adam Cole. And says that the Bullet Club needs a villain. And that was the cue for Young Bucks, super kick, and in comes – oh, I'm sorry. Skrull comes in. And again, I love his look. Again, that kind of steampunky thing he's got going on.
It's kind of like – he has like a Clockwork Orange gimmick going on. He's got like the eyes wide shut masks, you know, with the big beaks.
Yeah. That's what that's from. Like, I knew it was from some movie, but yeah, that's it. Yeah.
One of my favorite movies, actually.
Okay. That's, yeah, I think you got that one.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah. The umbrella. It's a unique, you know, interesting, dark, fitting gimmick for him. Real nice one.
And a solid worker on top.
Absolutely. Comes in, does his stare down kind of thing, and then wackadoo super kick, and then they were all over him. That was the swan song, so to speak, for Adam Cole, and again, a new Bullet Club member. who will represent Bullet Club in the Best of the Super Junior. And that's Marty Scurll. So good stuff there. The villain, as they call him, Colin. So that should be fun.
All right, main event, triple threat for the ROH title. The champion, Christopher Daniels, taking on Cody and Jay Lethal.
Flat match to me. I don't think this was a stellar match. I think this was a decent match. I thought this was okay. I don't think Cody Rhodes did anything to up his stock, to be truthful. I gotta be honest with you, I don't think anybody did much to up their stock. I think everybody kind of maintained that level that where they are. I was surprised at the finish.
I thought for sure that Cody was going to pick up the win here and become the new champion.
Yeah, I think everybody did. I think everybody in that building did. But they kept it on Christopher Daniels. I did find that the spot interesting where he couldn't kick out, right, because he was in the figure four. And Christopher Daniels, who was outside during after he went through a table, comes back in, re-energized is what the word I'm looking for.
He hulked up.
And he hit Moonsault from the top. Couldn't kick out Cody because he was in the figure four, which was interesting. Shoulders to the mat, and that was that. So, Lethal. I'm sorry. What am I telling you? Who fucking cares? Anyway, Christopher Daniels is your winner and retains the title, which, again, I think the building was even – listen, there were people that I talked to that were really into Cody. That are really into Cody, you know, and there were people that I talked to that really aren't into Cody more than me. Like, I'm kind of just even keel. I don't think he deserves the position that he has in New Japan, but you know, I don't hate the guy.
No. And here's my question. Did they give you a reasoning why they're so into Cody?
Same reasons that you always hear. He's a good guy. He's you know,
there's lots of good guys.
Yeah, I know. He loves the business.
Lots of guys love the business.
Yeah, he's a solid worker. If I hear he's a solid worker, one more, he's a steady hand. Okay, all right.
Lots of steady hands out there too.
I agree. Listen. We're on the same page. My point being is that, even with that said, even with a divided crowd that I personally talked to, everyone still thought. To a person that there was going to be a title change, and the fact that there wasn't almost took the air out of the balloon. Right? But I don't think anybody saw that one coming. So I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for Ring of Honor, but that's where they are with that. All right, so that's that.
Before we go preview Best of the Super Juniors 24, I think the biggest news coming out of this War of the Worlds show is that New Japan has announced the creation of the IWGP United States heavyweight title, which is going to be decided in a tournament at these Long Beach shows. And some of the participants include Cody, Hangman Page, Jay Lethal. Look, the last thing that New Japan needs is another meaningless title. We already have three of them. We have three meaningless titles. We have the Never Trios title. We have the IWGP heavyweight and junior heavyweight tag team titles. I don't know what to say about this.
On one side of the coin, I'm in agreement with you, Colin, that the last thing that this promotion needs is another title. Right?
It will mean nothing.
I can't say that it won't, because
I can.
well, here's why I can't. Because I probably said the same thing when they had the Intercontinental title.
Sure. Right?
I probably did. And
then along came Nakamura.
Well, okay, yes. I mean, I think that you know, was one of the key factors in helping to establish that Intercontinental belt. Because there were times where it struggled, you know, especially in those first couple of months, getting off the ground and people taking it seriously. Now, I will say this, that it's up to the promotion to make a belt mean something, right? It's how they book the title in the future. That's going to be the key factor in us kind of taking it seriously. And I think in the beginning, it's going to be a struggle to take seriously. Over time, it absolutely can be a legitimate, serious, get excited over, look forward to seeing it defended kind of title. To say that, now, here's the other side of the coin. So I'm in agreement with you there, Colin. The other side of the coin is this.
They have 50 titles, Damon. They have 50 titles. And look, if there is any promotion in the world that can build up a title and make it mean something, it is certainly New Japan Pro Wrestling. But I mean, why not work on your existing titles that are kind of in the doldrums, like your tag division. Work on that. Make that mean something rather than create this U.S. title. Which, look, I'm just going to go out and say it. This is all about Cody. This is all about Cody. The creation of this title.
I don't know.
That's what it's about.
I mean, listen, they're not going to create a title for one guy. I mean, Cody hasn't signed anything with New Japan, Colin. So, like for me, I don't like the position that he's in. I don't think it's a fit for me.
They need a title for him.
But I don't think they create a title for him. I don't think that's New Japan's thought process in this. I think it's the thought process is 2018. It's, you know, that California territory. It's I think that is the thought process New Japan has for creating this title. Now, I'm in agreement with you, dude. It's not something that I think is even needed. The worst thing that could possibly happen is, you know, you're looking at a Dominion show where everybody has a belt. Right?
That's where we're headed.
You go down the lineup and it's like everybody's got a fucking title, right? Yeah. You know, so half your roster has some form of championship.
Doesn't that water things down a bit?
To me, yes, more than a bit. And I think that is a legitimate complaint. I absolutely do. I don't think another title is necessary. Now, that's where I agree with you. But on the other side of the coin is, you know, I'm trying to remain optimistic in the sense of let's see where we are. I don't think it's fair for us to sit here and judge it now, out of the gate. Because of course it's meaningless. It was just announced, you know, 2 nights ago, and truth be told, so far the people that have been officially announced. Now, has Cody been officially announced for this?
I don't think that he has been officially announced. I think the only two official participants thus far are Hangman Page and Jay Lethal.
Right. Now, truth be told, that does not get me excited in the least. Right. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Those two names are not something where I'm rushing out, and if that's headlining a show, I'm not rushing out and buying a ticket.
Well, and the other thing, really quick, I think that people who bought tickets for these Long Beach shows, they wanted to see a New Japan Pro Wrestling show, not a pseudo War of the Worlds Ring of Honor show. Am I right?
I agree, and I don't think that's going to be the case. Now, listen, okay. I was talking to you off the air before we hit record that. If that means that a Hangman Page and again, I haven't heard that he's in or he isn't in, but if that ties up a Cody, if that gives a lot of these undercard type guys things to do, I'm okay with it, right? Now, I don't want this to be a round robin tournament where I see Hangman Page seven times a night.
I think it'll be single elimination, which, I mean, you're still going to see a lot of match. You have to figure a lot of the matches on this first night at Long Beach are going to be tournament matches for this U.S. IWGP U.S. title.
It doesn't mean there's going to be 20 guys in this tournament. There could be four guys in it, Colin.
I don't think there's going to be four guys. At least eight guys. There's four matches right there.
I hope not.
I mean, anything less than eight guys isn't really a tournament. And they did announce this as a tournament. So you're going to see a tournament in Long Beach.
I don't want to see a tournament.
You're going to see a tournament, Damon. That's what this is.
Well, listen, I'm going to see a title. I'm going to see an IWGP title defense. I'm going to see a never open weight title defense. I'm going to see a junior title defense. I'm going to see an intercontinental title.
Is this show going to be 5 hours long?
Could be. I mean, listen, I don't, I mean,
it's going to be on Access TV.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're going to have everything, right? So the show starts at 5 o'clock West Coast, right? Which means 8 o'clock. So do you think they give them an hour? Do you think they give them 2 hours on Access?
An hour? Two? I was under the assumption, I mean, I don't know anything, but I was under the assumption this is going to be a legit 3 hour like pay-per-view on Access television.
Do you think they're going to give Access 3 hours live?
I didn't think they were going to give them one.
I thought they were going to hop in. Like, they were going to have a show, right? And then main event, or, you know, last two matches were going to be live on Access. That was my feeling of it. And again, I don't know if that was the case, but I can't imagine them giving them 3-4 hours live on Access
TV.
Well,
here's the other thing. I mean, this event is going to be on NJPW World as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they'll have that all that live, right? So they'll broadcast the entire show, whether that's – I mean, you figure it's going to be about 3 hours, right? I would think that's a safe guesstimate for the live audience, right? So anybody on NJPW World that would be watching – live audience, I would say three and a half hours is a good deal. This is not going to be Tokyo Dome 6 hour long show, right? And then they're going to cut into live TV, Access TV, you know, for the important stuff in that designated time slot.
I thought we were going to make this Access TV program a big deal, though, and we're going to do that in an hour.
Listen, I don't know the particulars, but I would be shocked if this whole entire show was broadcasted live. Colin, think about that. I don't care who it is. Do you think they would? I mean, do they do MMA live stuff, right? Access, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay. I mean, I don't watch it, so again, I am completely out my ass.
I think they air a lot of it. I think they air the majority of these fights.
Okay. I mean, I don't know, but I don't think they're going to go 3 hours live.
All I'm saying is this. A couple weeks ago, I mean, you were booking Okada versus Omega 2 at these Access events and right. talking about how, you know, we have to make this a big deal. This is a big opportunity.
Yeah.
Did that change at all, Damon? Did your train of thought change?
I'm tiptoeing a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'm tiptoeing a little bit. Look, I don't know. Listen, we haven't announced any matches for Omega. We haven't announced any matches for Okada. We have a Dominion, a massive Dominion show that we got to weed through, right? Before we can speculate on where they're going to go with, well, we can speculate, but to have some definitive speculation of where they're going to go with these Long Beach shows. There is a lot is going to come out of this Dominion show, which is an amazing show on paper. I'm not excited for a U.S. championship, an IWGP U.S. championship. I'm going to state it right now as we sit here today, that if that is a draw for the people coming to these shows, I think it's few and far between. I could be wrong. I'm sure we'll get some feedback on it, but I think it's few and far between. The people that are coming to this show are not coming to see, you know, this tournament unless they announce some sexier names. And I don't think that's going to be the case. They're coming for a major Okada defense. They're coming for a major Omega appearance.
Defense. Are you giving us a prediction for Dominion there?
Here's the thing. This is a tough one to call for me.
Because it's very tough.
Because on one hand, you have Okada, who is having just a remarkable year, a legendary year, a year that is halfway through that will go down as one of the best half years just about anybody in the business, who's, you know, the health of New Japan and the shows and the draw and the asses in the seats and all that stuff is being carried by Omega and Naito, let's be honest. So, no, I don't think that there's any reason to take the belt off for that reason. The reason why you would take the title off of Okada and give it to Omega is to help promote in the U.S. And that really depends upon what Omega's status is moving forward in this company. I don't think that when it's all said and done, any of this means anything unless it's Omega giving a commitment to New Japan. That's really what it comes down to, in my eyes. And I really think that this all leads to an Okada Naito Tokyo Dome.
So where does that leave Kenny Omega then?
Hey, look, that's a question for Kenny Omega, right? So I think if there's a commitment with Kenny Omega moving forward, then yeah, okay, there would be a reason for him to take a time. Here's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see Omega to win it for these shows and defend it on these shows. When what is there value in that? Not unless you're going to be building around Kenny Omega. If you're not going to be building around Kenny Omega, then what's the point?
I just hope that sewer and trash is covered in his rent for that Orlando apartment. That's important. Water, sewer, and trash.
Yeah, that's a big expense.
Yeah.
I understand, Con. I get where you're going with that. But that's at the end of the day, with all the speculation and all the fantasy booking and all that we want for these Long Beach shows, at the end of the day, that's really what it boils down to, is what's Kenny Omega going to be doing come January 4th?
You know, we've been talking about Dominion. We've been talking about these Long Beach shows. Damon, we've got Best of the Super Juniors 24 coming up this week. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty damn excited for these shows, especially the first night. And I think that this would be a good opportunity to preview these matches that we're going to witness this week.
Block A looks really solid, dude, doesn't it?
Block A is like a car crash.
I don't think there's a bit like going through the names in that Block A. It's hard pressed for me to find one where I'm like, that match is going to be okay. Like, it really looks like all of these matches, no matter how you jumble up the names, these matches look really, they look solid.
And
they,
I think,
really
that this show on the 17th, this Wednesday, is going to be a great show, because all of the matches on the card are Best of the Super Junior matches. We're going to see like a mishmash of A and B block matches, and let's go through the card, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. This is worth staying up for, to be honest with you.
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be a tremendous show. I don't see how it could not be. Opening match, we're going to see Liger versus Taka.
Okay, so that might be... You know, here's the thing, too. Taka Michinoku is not bad, and somebody made mention, and again, I apologize. You know, As the kids like to say, Colin, let's not sleep on Taka Michinoku. Right?
You know what? Someone actually hit us up on Twitter and said that very thing.
Is it really those exact words? you're lovable.
Well, he said, this was Nate S. on Twitter. He said, don't hand wave Taka in Best of the Super Juniors. He's going to surprise a lot of people. So, Nate, I'm gonna hold you to that.
Well, listen, I don't know if it's even a matter of surprising. I mean, I've been watching Taka Michinoku since the 90s, so it's not like he's – but you know, you're not going to get, you know, Ricochet out of Taka Michinoku at this point in his career. But I think also you're going to get a lot of sneaky Taka, right, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, let's pump the brakes on him, you know, us giving him an MVP of the tournament. With that said, I think a lot of people are looking at this, and especially because Liger is in Block A, right? Block A is chock full of talent, and there are a lot of dream matches here. Liger has said that this is his last, and I could have sworn he said this last year, but okay, this is his last Best of the Super Juniors.
Allegedly.
Right. Just like Terry Funk's last match was in 1980, whatever it was. So couple schools of thought. One being, hey, you know what? This could be, if this is Liger's last run, let's have him go on a really magical run, right?
Well, let's a lot of people said the same thing about Tenzon, and we saw what happened there.
Right. The steam went out of that after, what was it, two nights, right? But still, that was a good two nights, Colin.
I would basically, in a nutshell, the booking of Liger in this tournament, it should be the complete opposite of how Tenzon was booked in the G1.
Have him go strong.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Why not? Right? And I'm not saying have him win it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they pull out the old Ricky Choshu G1 or Tenzon in the last G1. That would not shock me, and that would be fun. And again, I am being completely biased in the sense that Liger is one of my favorites, and it would be nice to see him have that final little taste. And I think a lot of the guys that are in this tournament would, you know, to have a singles matches with Liger in his last tournament, it's kind of like like a little checkbox in a to-do list for a lot of these younger guys, right? So, you know, going under to a Liger in this case, you know, I don't think many people would have a problem with it. So that's one school of thought. The other school of thought is that, listen, he's a guy in a really stacked – like if he was in B block, it'd be a bit of a different story, right? There's a lot of big-time names in this and a lot of talent in that block A for Liger, the 52-year-old, to get those singles win over. So it might not fare too well for his stats and his numbers and his win-loss percentage coming out of Best of the Super Junior. So I'm hoping they go for the Liger big run. The logic in me says that might not be the case, but fingers crossed. So Taka against Liger. Okay, so what else we got?
We've got Tiger Mask versus Volador Jr. That is a Block B match.
Okay. I think Volador Jr., if they were going to bring over and any of the CMLL guys, him and Dragon Lee, were probably the two that people had circled. So,
I would have liked to have seen a Mystico, a Euphoria, you know, we can't have everything.
Can't have everything, Colin. We'd wind up with the U.S. IWGP title.
That's right.
Okay, so Tiger Mask.
I think you should hold that title, by the way.
I think I am. I'm in the tournament.
I hope so.
That'd be great. I'm gonna win us.
Oh boy, what a first match for Ricochet here. Ricochet versus Tai Chi.
I thought you said this show was going to be good.
Well, it is going to be good. I mean, the main event's going to deliver. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, he's got to get through that match anyway, right? So let's get it out of the way first up. Where is the show? Do you know where the show is from?
This show is from your favorite venue, Damon, Corican Hall.
It is a favorite of mine. All right. All right, we'll see what happens there. All right, what else we got?
We've got another Block B match, ACH versus Bushi. That should be good.
That should be good.
We know about Bushi, though.
People are down on the Bush, and you know you're going to see some mist. Just saying. I think ACH wins. I'm going to say ACH gets the win. He needs to establish himself. And what better way against an LIJ member than Bushi?
We're going to see – I'm sorry.
No problem. I think I'm going to give you the prediction of an ACH win here.
I'm going to go right along with you. ACH should definitely win his first match. Kushida versus El Desperado.
Okay. Truth be told, about – I think of the LIJ members, or the LIJ, the Suzuki Goon members, like the bottom tier guys. I don't hate El Desperado.
No, I certainly don't dislike him as much as Tai Chi, for example. But then again, I don't think anybody does.
Right. I think we have a blowaway winner for our least favorite wrestler.
Yes.
Awards. All right. Okay. So far we're building, right, Colin? Tell me we're building.
We are definitely building. Okay. How about this match? We've seen this match 5,000 times, and I don't think a single match has been a dud. Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll. Guys, you are in for a treat with this one. I can promise you that.
I think this will deliver as well. And I think with Marty, he'll be super excited. Finally getting that New Japan tracksuit, right?
That's right.
Everybody seems to covet. The New Japan tracksuit has become the modern day Ribera jacket.
And, you've got one, Damon.
I don't have a Ribera jacket.
The tracksuit.
I do. Yes, I do have a tracksuit. Yes. I don't have a Ribera jacket, Colin.
Well,
that's I've been to Ribera 3 times, Colin. I need a Ribera jacket.
I need a leather jacket, but that's besides the point.
Well, it's summertime. They're going to be on clearance.
That's right.
Come on, man. Get on the fucking leather jacket. Get on the leather jacket before they go out of fucking style again.
Right? I don't think they're ever going to go out of style.
They really shouldn't. They shouldn't. No, yeah. Oh, speaking of Ribera, Colin.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you know this. I do have a breaking news announcement to make.
Yes, we are all ears.
All right. I'm sure you are. Japan has been booked.
Yeah, you told me about that a few days ago.
Oh, did I?
You did. I know you're getting a bit forgetful as you climb up the ladder in years, but that's okay.
My Alzheimer's kicking in. Yes, kids, Tokyo is booked for the Dome and all that fun stuff. So I'll be there from the 29th through January 8th or something like that. So just thought everybody would love to hear. All right, so where
Nobody
are we
cares,
now?
Damon.
Listen, there's plenty of people that care. You couldn't believe the amount of texts and messages, and I'll be theirs, and I can't wait to see you again. Colin, I'm very popular.
Oh, I know. It's a big deal.
All right. It's not that big of a deal. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about this Best of the Super Junior Show.
This next match is positioned really oddly in the card. I don't know
69?
If this is
What?
Sorry. This is the semi-main event, according to the match list here. Taguchi versus Kanemaru.
Whew.
I mean, shouldn't that be a little lower on the card? Damon, are you excited for Taguchi versus Kanemaru?
Colin, I'm going to be truthful. I'm not waking up early for this.
Well... I think you should at least watch the main event live.
Kanemaru Taguchi semi-main event. I mean, look, somebody's got a semi-main event it.
But why not Ospreay versus Skrull? That seems the obvious semi-main to me.
Because you know Skrull, no one there knows Skrull.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
The people in that building are very familiar with Taguchi, and even though they might not follow the Noah as closely as you know some of the harder core Noah fans, I'm still there's a bit more of a familiar aspect than Marty Scurll. Even though us here, you know, some of us would go so far as to say pants might be down. I don't know if many pants, trousers, if you will be dropped at Korakuen until, you know, the match occurs and the post-match.
Can I say something about Kanemaru?
You can.
Kanemaru is, like, a good wrestler, but the thing is, there's really nothing. He's very bland. He's a good wrestler. Everything he does is fine. It's solid, but he's just... There's nothing about him that is like, oh man, I can't wait to see Kanemaru. like this Taguchi Kanemaru match is going to be good, but it's just that there's nothing about Kanemaru that is really all that special. Do you know what I mean? Am I making sense here?
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing with so for me, this is one of the bigger differences between me and you, besides our legalization of marijuana.
We have differentiating opinions on many things, but...
But here's the thing. We're not going to get there. But can I go on the record and just say, I don't mind if it's legal. I don't care if it's legal.
There we go. Thank you, Damon.
Make it legal. I think it's silly that it's not. I agree with that. Okay.
Thank you.
But here's another kind of thing. I like pro wrestlers without the goofiness. And I call it the goofiness, right? So, like, I like a straight-laced guy like a Daisuke Sakamoto, right? Where not a lot of frills, but just a fucking ass kicker. Or, I'll take that over a Dalton Castle. Right?
Okay.
Where I think you need a little bit more Dalton Castle than your Sakamoto's, right?
I always have appreciated the theatrical element of pro wrestling. That is certainly one of the things that drew me to it as a young child.
Right. So for me, it's more of the opposite. Like, you know, I'll take a, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of another decent example. Like a lot of the, your All Japan guys. I don't know. I'm whatever. My point being is this. Yeah, there's not a lot of sizzle when it comes to Kanemaru.
Right.
Right. There's not a, you're not
it's all steak.
You're getting all steak.
It's a big hunk of meat.
Right. So again, I think that while you say that there's not a lot there, I can see where people might gravitate a little bit more toward that. Now, to me, I don't think that his in-ring stuff that you see supplements the fact that he doesn't have a lot of like outward pro wrestling charisma. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, so the things that I would even enjoy about a pro wrestler, I don't necessarily even see that with him, right? So so right out of the gate, we got a strike on your column, and not for me, you know, not even that I'm really necessarily looking for that, but yeah, I would agree with what you say. But then on the other side of the coin, I don't see enough of what I enjoy, you know, for that as well. So it's kind of hard for me to get excited for him.
Kanemaru is just kind of there.
Yeah, he's not something that, you know, I'm going to get overly excited about. And again, Kyle, I'm waiting for this main event. I'm waiting for you to sell me on this show, because truth be told, aside from the one match, we have a lot of decents, but nothing that I'm waking up early for. So wake me up early. Wake me up before you go.
Yeah. So we've got Ospreay and Skrull, which is going to be one of the must see matches in my opinion. Now the main event, another match that we've seen 10,000 times, but it never gets old. These guys are to me the Tanahashi and the Okada of the junior heavyweight division. Of course, I'm talking about Dragon Lee versus Hiromu Takahashi. They had a match at New Beginning in February, probably. Maybe my second favorite match of the year in New Japan. I'm sure they'll have a match here at Best of the Super Juniors at least equal or better than that match. These guys are just phenomenal. This is going to be a match that you can set your alarm clocks for, kids.
Yeah, they're going to put on a show. They did have one of the best matches of the year. There's no reason why we can't expect at the very least a great match. I think that's a safe bar to set of great. I think everyone's going to be looking forward to it. And you're right. That is a match worthy of setting an alarm clock. So two matches right there out of the gate that should really wake everyone up, pardon the pun, when it comes to the Best of the Super Junior. This will be good. Hopefully as exciting as the others. But again, I think in a main event spot, Corkin Hall kicking off Best of the Super Juniors. I don't think that's anything to sneeze. Looking forward to it, and I might even wake up early. Good stuff.
Now, before we talk about the four matches for the 18th, I want to change. I've been thinking a lot about Takahashi in this tournament, and I kind of want to change my prediction for this tournament as a whole.
All right. What we got?
Well, I know I had originally said that. I think I originally said Kushida. Kushida's going all the way. He's going to win. I thought about it, and I thought about the booking of Hiromu Takahashi. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but this guy is undefeated in singles competition thus far since his return, right?
I think he took a fall in one tag match, Colin.
Okay, so he took a fall in one tag match, but I mean, he's undefeated in singles competition. He has just been mowing through the junior heavyweight division. I mean, defeating Kushida in a minute and 30 seconds, defeating Ricochet. He has come in like a time bomb, pun intended. And
you forgot about Taguchi. What about Taguchi?
Oh yeah, Taguchi, another great match. He went through Taguchi. Like I said, Takahashi has just been eating up this junior heavyweight division. He has been like an unstoppable rebel force. And to me, it just wouldn't make sense for him to lose a couple random matches in Best of the Super Juniors, which is why I am now an advocate for Hiromu Takahashi going all the way in this tournament. I'm talking not losing a single match and winning the final. And hear me out. So let's say he goes all the way, doesn't lose, wins the final, calls out Kushida, and Kushida and him face off at Dominion. Kushida defeating him at Dominion at that point would mean so much more than if Takahashi is left unscathed. I know this sounds a bit radical, a bit drastic, but that I would continue with this, dare I say, Superman booking of Takahashi.
You're going all in.
Yeah,
you're going all in.
All in on Takahashi. I think you have to.
I'm doing the old double coin gimmick, Colin, here for you again.
I don't want to see him lose some random match in this tournament. No, he's got to go all the way.
I will say this, that if he does lose, whoever he loses to will help set up future programs, mind you. I'm not opposed to it, Colin.
See?
I'm not opposed to it. I mean, at that point in time, and again, excuse my ignorance, Kushida is block B, right? Yeah.
That is correct.
Takahashi block A. Huh. So you're saying Mo through, Kushida does not make it to the finals, right?
Right.
Kushida does not make it to block B. So Takahashi would take on someone in the finals. Challenge for Kushida, Dominion, and then Kushida finally wins. Hmm.
I think personally that would make Kushida's victory at Dominion mean so much more than if Takahashi, if his streak were to have been ended in the midst of this tournament.
Colin, we're on the same page. You sold me. You sold me on it.
Think about it, folks. Think about it. How much would it mean then for Kushida to step into the ring with this undefeated, unstoppable, shot out of a cannon junior heavyweight that no one has been able to defeat?
I'm in, Colin. All right. I like it.
I feel like Paul Heyman here, like selling everyone on...
Listen, this is you know, we should have been booking ECW in 92,
right?
Might still be in business. No, I think this is a very strong idea. I like it. It would do all the things that you said in making Kushida's victory, and again, assuming a victory, make it worth even more. I don't think it would devalue Takahashi in the least losing. Interesting. I wouldn't have a problem with it. Good call by you, Colin. All right. Very good. All right. So that's not a bad opening night. And then let's quickly go over second night. Do you have the matches in front of you there?
Yeah, sure. We've got four matches from the second night. Second night's it's not all best of the Super Juniors. You know, we're going to see some tag matches in the undercard, you know, the usual stuff. But first best of the Super Juniors match for the A-block night here on the 18th, Tai Chi versus Taka Michinoku. Damon, level of excitement. Are you at a 10?
I'm not at a 10, Colin. I can honestly say that. Oh. Let's say I'm not interested. But here's, I don't know. Who? I mean,
We're going to see some amusing comedy bullshit, I suppose.
We'll find a way to do some schmoz bullshit. Yeah, whatever. No, I'm not excited. Sorry. All right.
Beyond that, the next three matches, in my opinion, are just must-see stellar. We're going to see Dragon Lee take on Marty Scurll.
That could be... I'm worried about that match. That, to me, that might be a real conflict of styles.
You know what? I was thinking that myself. Dragon Lee versus Marty Scurll.
I don't think there's going to be any gray. I think that's either going to be really great or it's going to be just oil and water, and it's just not going to work, right? So on paper, I will say that I am steamboat selling it, as I like to say, giving it the old, oh, okay, that's a real weird mix-up in styles. Now, again, I have gone on record and said I do like the idea of style clashing.
Styles clash.
Tuck your head, Colin. Or don't tuck your
head. No, don't tuck your head. Right? It's the opposite.
The opposite. But again, I think they're two really great pro wrestlers, just really completely different styles, and it does have me somewhat concerned. But let's see. I mean, I like the idea of a mystery, and I think that's what we're going to get out of this match.
Semi-main, Liger taking on Takahashi. Very excited about this one. My only all I ask of Takahashi is please don't do the Death Valley driver in the corner. You know, take it easy on Liger. He's got a lot of miles on him. You know, we want to see him around for a long time. Yeah. So just, you know, be tranquilo. Tranquilo.
Man's got a family.
Right.
All right. He's got a family. I think this would be a perfect opportunity to bring out the old Grumpy Liger.
Yes.
This is where Grumpy Liger needs to make a showing. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see the sunset flip power bomb onto the floor. I'm hoping not. I hope Liger has enough sense not to to do that silliness. Leave that for the kids. I'm looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a good match. All right, next.
And finally, the main event, a must-see match from last year. This match was the talk of the town. Ricochet versus Will Ospreay. Once again, a rematch in the same building, Cork and Hall, as they fought in last year. Again, a match that we've seen many times. We saw it once in New Japan last year. We saw it once in Evolve, I believe. I can never get tired of watching these guys wrestle.
15-minute armbar. I want them to fucking work a wrist lock for 15 minutes.
What can I say?
They don't get off the fucking mat. That's what I want.
Look, this is going to be fantastic. Once again, Ricochet and Ospreay, one of my favorite matches from last year. I don't see how this could be any less.
Yeah, they're two pros, two guys that know their style. They are very comfortable in it, in a setting that, you know, it's putting a spotlight on what they do. I think it's a good thing. I think I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed. I don't know if it could possibly be as controversial as it was the last time.
No, I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be on ESPN.com this time.
Look, you never know, Colin.
Colin,
look, these kids come up with new crazy shit all the time. Ospreay impressed the fuck out of me at the Ring of Honor show. I think Ricochet is one of the best in the world right now. I have high expectations for this match. Again, I don't know what they have up their sleeves. I don't know what possibly, aside from levitating in the air Matrix style and fighting it out, I have no idea what else they could possibly do. And
well, it was announced that for this match, the ring is going to be an anti-gravity chamber. So they're actually going to be floating in the air as they fight.
Okay. Well, that's a first for Cork.
Most people don't know about that, but I got the inside scoop.
Great. Nice. Inuhito calling you, huh?
Yep, right. That's right.
Nice. Well, I look forward to that. And I think, like I said, who knows what they have up their sleeves. I'm sure that they have things in the work that might be things that we haven't seen before. It should be good. All right. Good.
Well, Damon McDonald, I think that is a show. I mean, lots to look forward to. Once again, Best of the Super Juniors 24 on the 17th and the 18th live on NJPWWorld.com. Any other thoughts, Damon, from that you would like to address?
No, I think, like I said, I'm on my way to Ring of Honor's War of the Worlds. In just a few moments, as a matter of fact.
TV tapings.
TV tapings. Doors open at 4:30, Colin, and bell time at 6. I have an extra ticket, too. So I'm on the fence. Do I sell it, or do I just have extra room in the front row?
If I was closer, I would take you up on that offer, but...
Oh, well, listen, if you can make it down, I have an extra ticket. With that said, no, a lot of exciting things. We'll see. I think we get an announcement this week on from Access TV about the live showing of the G1 shows, so we have that to look forward to. The Best of the Super Junior stuff, a lot of stuff around the corner, kids, so we look forward to that. And again, keep in mind, everyone, we do have our meetup. If you are in Long Beach, please come out. It's Beachwood Barbecue is where we're going to be. Following the first night of the G1 special in Long Beach, it's myself from the PureCast, as well as representatives from both the Classic board as well as the NJPW subreddit. The Reddit kids over there, always good conversation there, so check them out. Again, one of my favorite spots on the whole entire internet, that Reddit group. So good stuff. We'll see you at Beachwood right after G1 special the first night. So lots of stuff to look forward to.
All righty, very good. Once again, NewJapanPurocast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Listen to all the new episodes directly on there as they are uploaded. Links to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, the whole bits. And, of course, we're on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as well, each and every Monday afternoon. And like I said, lots to look forward to. Best of the Super Juniors coming up this Wednesday and Thursday. And you can be rest assured that Damon and I will be back here same time next week to review both of these shows. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. Enjoy Best of the Super Juniors 24. We'll catch you right here next week on the New Japan Purecast.